Hey, Valley Church, thanks for joining us for Church Online. It is so good to be together, to worship together. I'm glad you clicked in from all over the world, literally, and literally all over your house. I know people are watching from the basement, from bedrooms, from living rooms. Thanks for joining us for all in this together. We continue the series here, and it's Palm Sunday. We're so excited for Palm Sunday. This week, the church is preparing all week long. This is Holy Week, and we can't wait to get back together next week with you as we worship and celebrate Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So thanks for being with us. And some of you may have stumbled across us on social media. Maybe somebody shared a Facebook post, or you clicked on us on YouTube, or you're just checking at valley.church to see how we're doing church right now. We want you to know that we don't always worship like this, but in this time, because of social distancing, we're happy to worship together online. So you can trust we'll be here next week. We're so glad that you've joined us. And actually, knowing that so many of you are watching this on the internet, watching from a laptop, it kind of makes me feel like a YouTube star. So I feel like I should start over and just kind of say, hey, Valley Church, thanks for clicking in. Don't forget to smash that like button and subscribe. Hit the bell. All right, that was a little weird. I think I'll keep my day job. But seriously, you should check us out on Facebook. Follow us if you haven't. Follow us on YouTube, because you're going to get all the fastest, greatest information out that way. But it is obvious that we are doing church just a little differently than we normally do. And it's because of the social distancing that we've been asked to do. I mean, we're doing life differently. We're doing relationships differently. We're doing work differently. Here at Valley Church, while we used to have a building full of staff, like, we're a mobile workforce right now. Everybody is working off-site, and we're working so hard. I'm so thankful for the team of men and women here at Valley Church. But it's not just those we work with that are social distancing. I mean, everybody is social distancing. It's on the forefront of all of our minds. In fact, this week, I went out running, and I saw a lady who was taking social distancing to the extreme. I mean, I was out, I was running, I saw her and her two dogs, and she locked eyes with me, and I was like, you know, giving her the nod. Do you know the nod? Have you given the nod yet? Because right now, everybody just wants you to keep your distance. It's sort of like this from the hip kind of, I acknowledge you, I see you, I'm not going to come near you, I'm not going to touch you. So as I'm running past her, and she's locked eyes with me, I just give her the nod. And I kept running. And as I ran, I was thinking, I think she's still looking at me. And I'm running and running, and I glance back, and she was. She was giving me the craziest look. Have you received the look yet? Like, I get this look in the grocery store. I've been getting it at the park. I get it from runners and bikers and walkers. It's like just this thing that's so not romantic and kind of creepy. And as I was running, I started thinking, I wonder what she saw. And I even took a selfie. This is a picture of me out for a run. And I was just running. And look at how happy I am. I'm wearing headphones. I was smiling. I thought I was being friendly. But honestly, it wasn't until halfway through my run where I realized she probably didn't see a friendly guy. She probably thought she was seeing something like this.
On the road again.
I don't think she was looking at somebody exercising. She was probably wondering if I was a criminal. The only way it would have been more awkward is if I was in an orange jumpsuit carrying a bowling ball with a chain attached. And I feel bad. And I can't wait until my gym reopens. My neighborhood probably can't wait till the gym reopens. And I should probably stop wearing gloves and all black as I go out. I need to brighten up my wardrobe. While all of this social distancing is new to us, it's absolutely not new to Jesus. Social distancing is in the passage that we're going to look at today. The emotions that you're feeling, the emotions that I'm feeling, are paralleled in the Gospel of Mark. I would encourage you to open up your Bibles or pull out your YouVersion Bible app and click over to Mark chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 40. The Bible is so amazing. I just love Scripture. And when I'm reading this passage and when I look at the world we're in, it just confirms that the Bible speaks to every area of our life, even as you and I sit in our homes waiting for our world to get back to normal. And as you're flipping and clicking to Mark chapter 1, verse 40, let me tell you where we are in Scripture. You see, Jesus, he is out on a preaching tour. He is spending weeks and weeks touring Galilee, sharing the gospel, sharing the good news, and doing acts of ministry to show people how much he loves them and that he has the authority that God sent him here with. Jesus, he had an incredible ministry. His ministry was gaining, his popularity was growing, and while he was out traveling, sharing the good news and performing miracles, this is what happened in Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Then a man with leprosy came to Jesus and on his knees begged him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." I love this. You know, you and I, we actually don't hear too much about leprosy today, but in this time, leprosy was a big deal. It was one of the biggest deals. It was terminal. And it wasn't just physically terminal. Leprosy was relationally terminal. In the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, we see how a person with leprosy needed to be treated. Look at Leviticus 13, verse 45, the person who has a case of serious skin disease is to have his clothes torn and his hair hanging loose. It's like just messed up hair. And he must cover his mouth, you know, with some sort of garment or fabric and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." Whenever they would come in near somebody, whenever they would see somebody, they would have to shout, "Unclean, unclean." And they just looked like they were unkept and unclean. You know, Leviticus also goes on to tell us that somebody with leprosy, they couldn't even live in the city. They needed to live outside the city walls. They couldn't be near people. They couldn't be near their friends. They couldn't be near their family. I can't imagine what a life like that would be like. They would see people, and they couldn't interact with them. They just needed to shout, "Unclean, unclean." They had to declare that they were dirty. A leper would be experiencing like a huge amount of humiliation all the time and an incredible hopelessness and loneliness. You know, a leper wasn't even to be touched by another person, because if you would touch somebody with leprosy, then you would be considered unclean. Nobody wanted that. I wonder how long it's been since anybody had spent time with this guy. I wonder when the last time this man received a touch, because nobody wanted to give him a pat on the back. Nobody wanted to give him a hug, or a high five, or a fist bump, or even an elbow click. This guy was set off in isolation. I don't imagine this guy had many friends, if he had any friends. And people might have talked about him, but they probably didn't talk to him. He was just separated. He was quarantined by the strictest measures. He was socially isolated by society. And I imagine that this deep internal feeling of loneliness was terrible for him. And what you and I know as we read scripture is that God doesn't want us to be alone. You and I, we weren't created to be alone. In fact, in the beginning, when God created everything, God looked at man and he said this. He said, "It is not good for man to be alone." God created us for one another. God created us for a relationship. We need to be in community. God made us for community. In this passage, this does not mean that you have to be married, but you have to be connected. We were created to be together. We were created for connection. And some of you are kind of experiencing just a frustration right now, because you are alone a lot and you're away from face-to-face relationships and you just want to get back with people. You know, I was talking and walking with one of my boys out in the park, and we were just having a conversation, and it was so quiet. There wasn't a person around. Nobody, we didn't see anybody. And I just paused and I looked at him and I said, "Isn't this so weird? Nobody's around." And my son, he looked at me and he said, "Not really, Dad. Everybody's quarantined. That's why it's so quiet." And I said, "That's the weird part. Like, we've never been quarantined like this." And he looked up at me and he goes, "Dad, I've been quarantined." And I was like, "What? You've been quarantined?" He said, "Yeah, Dad, I kind of assume everybody's been quarantined. Have you ever heard of time out?" I just started laughing. I'm like, some of us feel like that. Some of us feel like we are in the longest time out of our lives. Like, we are craving relationship. Like, don't get me wrong. Moments of quiet and being still help us pay attention to some of the things in life that matter most. But if we're honest, we have to acknowledge that we weren't created for isolation. We weren't created for forever separation. We were created to be in relationship. Some of us are waiting for people to come into our lives. I want you to know that that's okay, that's completely understandable, but I also want you to know that it's okay for you to go and be that in someone else's life, for you to pursue relationship with others or to be present for and with someone else. Here's one thing I know about Valley Church. Some of you are deeply connected to others, and some of that relationship is happening inside of life groups. But there's a lot of people at Valley Church who are not yet in a life group. I want to tell you right now, we have an incredible opportunity to encourage you and to get you involved in a small group community. If you're not yet in a life group, we want to encourage you to send your name, your phone number, and just let us know that you want to be in a life group to lifegroups@valley.church. Let us know you want to be involved. And one of the great things about these life groups that are starting up this week are they're not forever life groups. They're just a for now life group. We're going to get together for 6 weeks, and we want to start groups with people who need to be in community or who are not yet in community. Consider sending an email to lifegroups@valley.church. Just let us know you want to get plugged in, because we don't want anyone to go through this alone. We're all in this together. In fact, we're better when we're together. And I love what the man with leprosy said to Jesus in verse 40. Look at this. Then the man with leprosy came to him on his knees, begged him, "If you are willing." Notice that he doesn't look at Jesus and say, "Can you?" He knows Jesus can. He's just asking Jesus if he would. Scripture goes on to say, and I love this, I want you to look at this. Pay attention to the way Jesus does what he does. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. Jesus says, "I am willing, be clean." I love that. Jesus moved with compassion. It started on the inside. Jesus took what he felt on the inside and it moved outward. Moved with compassion, he reached out and he touched this man with leprosy. After that, Jesus said, "I'm willing." If you guys are taking notes, I'd love it if you'd write this down. Compassion in action is a demonstration of the gospel. Jesus was living the gospel right there in the moment. Jesus wasn't just on a preaching tour. He was showing people the gospel in tangible ways. This was an incredible moment for everyone in the crowd. This was an incredible moment for this man with leprosy. And this was an amazing moment for Jesus and his ministry. This compassion was a demonstration of the gospel in front of everyone. Jesus was not only on a preaching tour in Galilee, he was sharing and demonstrating the gospel. Jesus showed that man that he cared for him before he told that man that he cared for him. And now that doesn't mean that you and I don't get to share things before we do things. Jesus just led with doing. But what a lot of Christians find themselves doing is saying a lot of things that they don't follow through with. I love it. Jesus was welled up with compassion. And it drove him to action. It's an amazing demonstration of the gospel. By cultural standards, this leper is untouchable. To everybody in the crowd, the leper was untouchable. And right now, in this time, like you and I live in a neighborhood filled with people who are untouchable. Now more than ever, people will recognize your compassion and your generosity more than any other time. In your relationship right now, the things that you and I do for our neighbors, they're going to stand out for the longest time. We get to make a difference. Jesus was constantly giving himself away in that way. He would spend time with his heavenly Father in prayer. He would recharge, and then he would go out and he would give himself away. Jesus was constantly doing that. Jesus gave himself away right here. He gave his time to this man. He gave his attention to this man with leprosy. Jesus reached out, and this is what happened. Immediately, I love that. Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was made clean. Imagine watching this from the crowd, knowing that you're so close to someone with leprosy, fearing for yourself, and then wondering, why is this man here? He's not even yelling unclean. And then Jesus taking all this risk to touch him, which you know would make you unclean, except this man's leprosy left him. Jesus healed him. There was no unclean anymore. It was like that guy went from yelling unclean to declaring, "I'm clean." How exciting is that? When you and I, when we read this scene, it makes miracles seem unattainable. I mean, like, I've never cured anyone from any disease, but what I think you and I could forget, or what we could miss in this, is that a simple connection with a neighbor, the ease of reaching out in a unique, loving, caring, compassionate way may be the miracle that somebody in your life is looking for. You could be a difference maker by just being willing. There are many, many things that you and I can do. We just have to be willing to do some of those things. I don't know if you've ever connected your compassion to someone's transformation, but that's what happened here in this passage. Jesus had compassion on him. He reached out, he touched him, and immediately the leprosy left him. The compassion that we have for others when acted on can actually change a person's life. Jesus touched the untouchables. And our hope here at Valley Church is that you would be willing to take a risk and touch the untouchables in your life and in your neighborhood. I mean, here at Valley Church, we're on mission. This is our mission: to mobilize everyone's God-given potential to deeply love Christ and their neighbors. That's why we exist. This is so incredibly important, because loving Christ actually starts with us and in us and in our homes. Like, we want to see everyone who comes to Valley Church growing in a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. We want to continue to put tools in your hands that will help you grow spiritually, that will help your family grow as well. We want to make sure there are incredible opportunities for you to follow Jesus with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. In fact, our life groups haven't missed a beat. We continue to meet with our life groups. Our children's ministry continues to provide programming online. Our middle school and high school meets every day of the week in the morning on a weekday to meet with students, to be with students, to encourage students. Ministry continues to happen. We want to continue to deeply love Christ, and we also want to put tools in your hands so you can love your neighbor. Here are two members of our Community Bridges staff to show you some creative ways that you can do this now.
Hey everyone, my name is Jeremy Dyvig. I'm the director of Community Bridges here at Valley. At Valley Church, we're all about loving our neighbors. We call this mission Love You Des Moines. Usually this looks like bringing people together through programs, events, and many, many different activities. But today's a little bit different. Our lives have changed. Right now we're spending more time than ever at home. And so are our neighbors. We have a very unique opportunity to deliver love to our neighbors in simple, safe, and meaningful ways. Social distancing doesn't need to mean social isolation. Here with me is Lisa Lewis, part of our Community Bridges team, to share some ideas on ways that we can do this today.
One thing my family and I decided to do was write notes of encouragement to all of our neighbors. We walked up and down the street and taped the notes to our neighbors' front doors. Within 24 hours, multiple people had reached out to us, just wanting to talk to somebody about everything that's going on in their lives. It doesn't have to be difficult to reach out to your neighbors during a challenging time. Go to valleycommunitycenterdm.com to find tips and tools to use to reach out to your neighbors today.
One of the things I love most about being a part of Valley Church are the relationships that I've developed. The peace and comfort that come from the unity of the body are so valuable to me in this time. The reality is, though, we all have neighbors who don't have that. There's a lot of loneliness. Now it's more important than ever to show our neighbors that we love them, that we love our community, that we love you, Des Moines.
Dave Runyon was one of our 2019 Good for All speakers, and Dave, co-author of The Art of Neighboring, actually sent Valley Church a digital gift. Out on the Valley Community Center webpage, you can download a neighboring toolkit. Let me show you how to navigate this page. Go to valleycommunitycenterdm.com. You'll see this page, and you scroll down. You can see all three links that our Community Bridges team talked about. Click that first one, and you'll be able to download this neighboring toolkit. I love what we have here in this packet. As you scroll down, you see some first and some next step opportunities. There's some best practices and ideas, as well as additional resources. And then at the very bottom, if you wouldn't mind printing this out, you can write the names of your neighbors right there on the card, and you can be praying for them constantly. You could make notes of who and how you served each and every one of your neighbors. This is a great tool. I would encourage you to head out to the Valley Community Center DM.com website and check out all of the links that lead us to being amazing community bridge builders. These downloads aren't connected to a new program. This is the ministry of community bridges that we've always been doing. This is compassion and action, because right now, people are looking for relationships like never before. The ideas that you have to connect with your neighbors will amplify what we as a church have always been doing. And actually, the way you connect with your neighbors will amplify God's purpose in your life. After Jesus poured his compassion out on this man with leprosy, he warned him to go away at once. Jesus actually told him to go and meet with a priest, which was necessary, and to make a sacrificial offering, which was the law. And Jesus did this for two reasons. First, Jesus didn't want to be seen as defiant. He wanted this man, and he wanted to be seen as someone who obeyed the law. But by doing this, the man with leprosy was also able to be invited back into community. You see, by doing this, he could be back with his friends, his family. He could be back in his neighborhood and in the community. And Scripture says, after Jesus gave this man a stern warning, he went out and he began to proclaim what Jesus did widely and to spread the news, with the results that Jesus could no longer enter a town openly. But he was out in the deserted places, and they came to him from everywhere. This man was so excited for what Jesus did in his life. This man was so incredibly excited that Jesus paused and gave him some of his time, that he reached out with compassion. He just couldn't hold it in. Jesus said, "Don't do that," but the guy's like, "I got to tell the world about you. I've got to tell everyone what you have done for me." Friends, this is compassion in action. And what we would hope as a church is that our compassion and action would lead to celebration. And that's a little intimidating, because some of us, we feel like whenever we do something for somebody, we want to see those results. The truth is, you and I, we can't control the celebration, but we absolutely can control our compassion and the action that's behind them. I love how the Apostle Paul reminds us of our role here on earth. He says this, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God made it grow." I planted, my friend watered, but it's God who brought the results. While you and I have no control over the celebration, you and I absolutely have control over our compassion and our actions. When I read this verse, I just shed so much anxiety about doing the things that only God can do. I don't need to do everything. It's a partnership. Like, I get to plant and I get to water, and it's God who makes it grow. And so many times we get so stressed over, is it growing? Is there celebrating? Are people appreciating what I've done for them? That's not in our control. What you and I can control is the compassion and the doing. And for many of us, our planting and our watering schedule easily lends itself to loving our neighbor. Because right now I know that you have the ability to love them some way, and chances are you have more time on your hands than you realize that you can move forward and share something, encourage someone, help somebody who's lonely find a friend. I don't really care too much for the term social distancing, because if I'm being honest, we've never lived in a time in the history of our world when we've been more socially accessible. I think physical distancing is an appropriate thing to do, and probably a better word, but we're more socially connected with our neighbors and with our families, whether they're across the state, across the United States, or across the world. Today, you may be the encouragement that somebody needs. Your phone call or your video chat or your email or your handwritten note may be the miracle somebody's waiting on. There is so much power in someone hearing from you. I would encourage you to let your relationship with Jesus inform how you treat others. That you wouldn't just default to what you would normally feel, unless you just normally feel like being Jesus all the time. I would encourage you to do that. But take a risk and take some time to love your neighbor, to love your family, to be present, and to do what you can to make Jesus known in such a time as this. Compassion in action, we hope that it leads to celebration. The one thing that you and I can control is this first sentence. And then we hope that there's celebration and rejoicing, not because of us, but because of what Jesus has done in us, and maybe others see that and experience that. Friends, Right now, we're going to put some questions up on the screen. And these discussion questions, they might be good for you right now, for you to just discuss with those you're watching with. These questions will be fantastic for you to kick around in your life groups or in your living rooms as you're finishing up watching our service. I'm so glad that you came and joined us on this Palm Sunday. Please come back, share with some friends, some neighbors that we are having church online next week. Easter is going to be great at valley.church. Let me pray for us as we close. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for all that you have done in our lives. God, we are grateful that you have connected us first and foremost with Jesus, the King of Kings. God, help us be that to someone else as best we can, that we would plant and we would water in a way that would honor you, that would encourage others, and that would make Jesus known in this crazy time that we're living in. Lord, we love you, and we're thankful for all that you do in us and through us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen and amen.